Well, last night we heard the great responsibility God has given to your pastor. And tonight we're going to hear God's word to you, the church. Now, you've been together for some years now, and I know that you've proven yourselves faithful, and so these are not things that are new to you that I'm going to point out from God's word. These are things I'm trying to put you in remembrance of things that you know. But it will be a big change for somebody that's going to be a part of this congregation, and that's for Kimberly and the children. Your husband is going from being only your husband to now your husband and your pastor. And the children, their father will be their pastor. That's a big change. It's a very big change. My family will tell you this, and you've probably heard this, but you know, a pastor's family hears, for every one message he preaches, they hear it three times. You know, they hear it, what he's planning to preach before he gets to the pulpit. Then they hear him preach the message from the pulpit, and then they go home and they hear him preach what he meant to preach and what he should have said, forgot to say. My daughter says that she would like to tell all pastors' children that to always be aware that anything you say or do will likely show up as an illustration in your father's sermon. And but besides jokingly, it is a very serious change for a wife and children. And the things that I'm going to say here tonight that apply to the church apply to you. They apply to you, they apply to believing children. Now, and I'll remind you of this too, this is God's word to us. This is God's word to us. Christ our head. This is his command to his church. Now, Ephesians 4 tells us that Christ redeemed his people. He ascended to God's right hand. He gave ministers as gifts to his church. He gave gifts. He gave his preachers to his church. Now, one thing to always remember, and all of these things we're looking at tonight, remember that Brother Kevin is Christ's personal gift to you. And if you're as thankful for him always as you are now, that will help you tremendously when you face trial. This is Christ's, a faithful pastor is Christ's gift to you, his church. So remember that. So what should I be as a member of Christ's body, a member of the church? What should I be and what should I do for my pastor? What should I be? What should I do for my pastor? I'm just going to go through some scripture and show you some things the scripture say. Let's turn first of all to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. First of all, be in every service. Be here. When he stands to preach the gospel, be here. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Our Lord Jesus Christ finished the work God sent him to do. He finished the work. He fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law for His people. He gave the law fullness. He gave it the fullness of what it demanded for His people. In a positive way, He fulfilled it in perfect love. In a negative way, He answered the justice of God and paid the wages that His people owed to divine justice. He fulfilled the law. He finished the transgression for His people. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He brought in everlasting, never-ending righteousness for His people. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets, everything that's written of Him. He arose as the God-man, the glorified God-man, and entered into the holiest of holies and sat down at God's right hand. And all His people were risen together with Him and sat down together with Him. He filled everything God sent Him to do. He fulfilled the law for His people. You in whom Christ dwells, you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's all your salvation. Scripture says you are complete in Christ. How complete am I? Scripture says He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. If you have a concordance and you look those words up, the words at the first, before the comma, and the word after the comma are the same word. And here's what it means. You are as complete in Christ as Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's how complete you are. As complete as He is, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that's a blessing, brethren. It's a blessing to know this. We cannot break the law of God before the judgment seat of God. You think about that. We can't break the law of God. Our old man has been crucified. He's dead. The justice has been poured out on Him. He's been crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It's a reality before God. And the law's been fulfilled by Christ for His people. We've kept it perfectly, and we can't break it before the judgment seat of God. Now, I know in you and me, we never fulfill it, and we break it constantly. But I'm talking about where it matters. I'm talking about before God. We can't break it, and we fulfilled it. Isn't that good news? Now, as real and as true as Christ fulfilled all that the Father sent Him to do, Scripture says now He's risen and God has given Him all power in heaven, in earth, under the earth, in this world, and in the world to come. All power. Now, He had it as God the Son. Now He has it as the God-man. All power. There's someone in glory who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who knows everything about you and I and everything we suffer. And that one who's seated there has all power over all. Now, as real as He fulfilled everything the Father sent Him to do, He's right now filling all in all. He's the head over the church, which is His body, and that church is the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. His body won't be complete unless every sinner He redeemed is called into His body, and every member is in His body, and His body's complete. We're the fullness of Him. That's why in Ephesians 4, Paul said, well, this gospel is going to be preached until we come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. That means until every single elect, redeemed child, every member of his body has been called into the body. And he's filling all in all. He's filling. He fills his pulpit with his pastor. He fills his pew with his people. He fills his pastor's heart with the message he'll have him to preach. And he fills the heart of his people with that gospel, making it effectual in the heart. He, just like he fulfilled all things in righteousness for his people, he's fulfilling all in all right now through the preaching of the gospel. He's doing it. He's doing it. Turn over to Isaiah 61. I'll show you this very quickly before we move on. Isaiah 61. It says here, and I want you to see this. I want you to see now who it is preaching. Who's preaching? When the preacher stands up to preach, who is preaching? All right, Isaiah 61. Now, you know this is Christ speaking because he read this in the synagogue and he said, today is this scripture fulfilled. This is speaking of Christ. Now, watch what it said. Isaiah 61:1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, look in the second verse and look there where it says, to comfort all that mourn. Do you see that? To comfort all that mourn. God anointed Christ to preach the gospel to comfort all his people that mourn. Christ is the one who comforts all his people through the preaching of the gospel. That includes all his people. He's the one that preaches and comforts all his people. You can take the word all and put it here for all of these blessings that Christ accomplishes through the preaching of the gospel. And it's Christ who does this for all his elect. Let's read it together. Verse 1 says, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto, and you can put in the word all, to all the meek. To all his elect meek children. He has sent me to bind up all the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to all the captives, and the opening of the prison to all them that are bound. Look down at verse 3. At the end there, that they all might be called trees of righteousness, that they all be the planting of the Lord, so that he gets all the glory. What are you saying to me, Fred? Are you saying Christ does this in all men through the world? No, I'm talking about just his elect, just his redeemed. But what I'm saying to you is, all his people who are comforted through the gospel, it's Christ preaching that did it. All his people who have their hearts bound up, it's Christ preaching that did it. All his people who were in the prison of their sin and are set free, it's Christ preaching that set them free. Our Lord is alive. Our Lord is living. Our Lord is working in the midst of his people through the preaching of the gospel. And when we hear this word in our hearts, it's not just a man preaching to us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to us in spirit, through the Spirit of God. As real as when he walked this earth. As real as when he walked this earth. We think of heaven as being some far off place and death being such a vast river between us and it. That's nothing for Christ. He's preaching through the Spirit of God and he's making it effectual in his heart because he has to get all the glory. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is not only our high priest. He is the high priest that entered in the holiest of holies, who ever lives to make intercession for us, who accomplished our redemption. He's not only our king, who has all power so that he can send his gospel and make it cross the path of his redeemed child. He's also our prophet. He's the preacher. He's the one who gets the glory for preaching this gospel. And he's using an earthen vessel, a clay pot, And he's put this treasure in this earthen vessel so that the power is his and not a man's. It's Christ that's doing this. That's what I want you to understand. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. I'm there in the midst of them. He said, he walks among the golden candlesticks, his church. The Hebrew writer said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. It's Christ preaching. Now here's my question. If you knew Christ was going to be standing right here preaching the gospel, wouldn't you be here every time? He is. He is. I'm dead serious. Christ is preaching the gospel where his gospel is going forth in spirit and in truth. It's Christ preaching it. When you wake up Sunday morning and you're tired, remember that. And midweek when you've worked hard and you're tired in the afternoon, the traffic's bad and you're finally getting the rain, remember that. Christ is going to be preaching tonight. I'm going to be there. You that have younger children, the best thing you can do for your children is have them here when the gospel's preached. Our son loves sports. If it's a ball, he plays it and loves it. But my wife and I, from the time he was a little fella, we've told him, if it interferes with midweek service, you can't play. And if it interferes with Sunday morning service, you can't play. And that forbid him. He had a coach contact him about playing travel sports, wanting him on his team. But they play Sunday morning. And he told him, he said, I can't do it. He said, I go hear the gospel preached on Sunday morning. Now, the Lord hadn't blessed that to his heart yet. But all we can do, we can't change their heart. We can't, and it's no guarantee that God will. But God says he honors those that honor his son. Have your children sitting under the gospel. Best thing you can do for them. Best thing you can do for them. Now then, secondly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Esteem your pastor highly in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Know your pastor who labors among you, who God has put over you in the Lord, and who is sent to admonish you, and esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake. We esteem the office of the President of the United States. We esteem the office of a king. Did you know that when God made Israel, he didn't put a king over them? He put a preacher over them. He put his prophet over them. That's how highly we should esteem God's preacher. Like men esteem the president, the office of the president of the United States, we should esteem our pastor that highly. That's what he's talking about right here. Now, he's only a man. He's a sinner saved by grace the same as you are. But God uses his preacher to preach on God's behalf. That's why we're to highly esteem him. It's because we highly esteem Christ who's preaching through him. That's why. And those who highly esteem Christ do highly esteem their pastor. They do. For his work's sake, because he labors to bring them a message from God directly to them. And they esteem him highly. And they do so in love. They do. God's pastor, some people think that he only preaches 3 or 4 hours a week when he's standing in the pulpit. But he labors. It's a labor to get a word from God. It is. And he has the pressure of knowing every word he preaches will either bless or damn his hearers. There's no neutrality in hearing the gospel preached. Every single word that's going forth, God's going to either bless it to the heart of his child, or it will be a word to damn the rebel in the day of judgment. That's something that Paul, when he said that, he said, who's sufficient for this? That's a burden to the faithful man. Who's sufficient for this? Now, as Paul said, it's not that we say we have any sufficiency of ourselves. There's nothing in a man to brag on. But our sufficiency is of God. God's who made us able ministers of the New Testament. And it's God preaching. Paul said we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. That's why we esteem him highly, for his work's sake. I've worked some pressure-intensive jobs. I've worked some jobs that had pressure and work that was hard work. But nothing compared to being a pastor. Nothing. Get this, brethren, and this is so. I know this is so. The blessing you receive from God through Brother Kevin, the blessing you receive from God through his preaching, and the peace you have from God through his preaching is going to be directly linked to your esteem of him and your love for him. Think about that. If you don't have any esteem for somebody, you can't hear anything they say. Nothing they say is going to benefit you. It's going to be directly linked to how highly you esteem the gospel of Christ, Christ himself, and how highly you esteem this earthen vessel that he's using to labor and preach this word to you. That's necessary. It's necessary. God gives his people a heart for his pastor, just like he gives the pastor a heart for his people. So esteem him highly. Thirdly, go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Follow your pastor as he follows Christ. Follow him as he follows Christ. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their conduct, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Follow the faith of this man. Follow him as he follows Christ. That's what he's saying. The end of everything God's faithful pastor says and the end of everything he does before God's people is to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to do anything that would lead. There's people that the Lord's entrusted me to be a servant unto. I don't want to lead them away from Christ in anything I say or in anything I do. I want them to know Christ. I want them to be shut up to him. I want them to have all their care on him and him alone. To know he alone is their salvation. That's what God's faithful pastor wants. That's what the words he speaks in the pulpit and out of it. The things he does in the church, in his life, in his home, he's doing it because he wants you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not want to be an influence for bad. He doesn't want to be an influence to turn you from Christ. He doesn't want to be a hindrance to you knowing Christ. I told Brother Kevin last night, in the home, in the church, wherever you are, know that your brethren are watching you. Our Lord said, don't do anything to be seen of men. That's as bad as committing sin, lewd sin in front of folk. Don't do anything to be seen of men, but do everything knowing you are being seen of men. They're watching you. So what you do it faithfully to Christ, to lead them to Christ. And you, the Lord says here, you follow Him. Follow His faith. Follow His faith. The same one who became our surety in eternity, He never ceases loving His people. He didn't stop loving us when we fell in sin. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you thankful He never changes? Our Lord Jesus, when we were in rebellion, all the years that we didn't know Him of our life, He never ceased loving us. He never ceased being gracious toward His people. And now that we know Him, we stumble, we fall in sin, He never ceases loving His people. He never ceases being gracious to His people. So, as you follow your pastor, as he follows Christ, remember that Christ never ceases loving His people. Remember it because this is who He's leading you to. He's leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's leading you to this one who changes not. His word doesn't change. His means that He uses doesn't change. And this man is sent to lead you to this one. This changeless, immutable Savior. That's who He's sent to lead you to. Brother Kevin's going to study. He's going to pray. He's going to study. He's going to pray. He's going to study. He's going to pray. He's going to do that for you. You follow Him in that. When He preaches the gospel and you've heard a message preached, don't just run right up to Him with objections to something He said. Think about this. God's preacher is not going to preach off the cuff. He's going to spend weeks studying it and getting the message from God and have checked it and double-checked with the Scripture so that when He speaks it, it's according to this Word. And if you're not sure it's according to this Word, don't speak it. And if you don't know what it means, skip it. Because it's better not to say anything on it than to say something that's not according to this Word. But when He speaks it, He's going to speak what He studied. You give it as much time as He gave it. You study it as long as He studied it. And pray about it as long as He prayed about it. Follow Him in that. What did James say to us? My beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Receive the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. Receive it. Give yourself to study it. Follow Him in that. Follow your pastor in bearing His burden, the same as He's born yours. Now, you told him last night not to put any burden on the people. That's right. But he's just a sinner. And he's going to stumble. And when he does, you think about that. When you see him stumble in sin, you think, he's born with my burden. And he prayed for me. Follow him in that as he follows Christ. You bear his burden. And you pray for him now. Follow him in that. Remember how he spoke the truth to you in love when you were stumbling and struggling. And so you speak the word to him in love. Follow him as he follows Christ. And then the next thing he says there in Hebrews 13, in verse 17, and this is our next point, obey and submit to your pastor. Now, I know we live in a world where this is, no, don't tell anybody to obey and submit. But listen to what God says to His people. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Think about it. When Christ walked this earth, whatever direction he gave, spiritually or temporally, the best thing his disciples could do was obey and submit to him. Best thing they could do. The mother of our Lord said, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Well, as we walk through this life of faith, the best thing we can do, whether we understand what Christ is doing or we don't understand what Christ is doing, the best thing we can do is obey our Lord Jesus Christ and submit to him. Best thing. And Christ is teaching us in this passage right here that one of the ways we do that is by obeying and submitting to Christ's pastor. Well, where does it say that in the text? It says, because your pastor is going to continually give account to Christ. You see, Christ doesn't just send his pastor and then turn him loose and let him go and just whatever happens, happens. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he sends the pastor, he's ruling the heart of his pastor. I'm not talking about, now listen carefully to me, I'm not talking about a man who proves unfaithful. Oh, Christ is ruling him too. But he's not ruling in his heart in a positive way for good like he is his faithful pastor. But that faithful pastor, the only reason he's faithful is because Christ is ruling his heart. Christ is ruling his heart. Christ has the reins. Christ is continually directing him, and he's directing you through him. Now, somebody will say, well, and I've met men like this, well, that's just too much. You're giving too much power to a man. No, I'm not giving any power to a man. Christ is the power. Christ is the power. What if my pastor makes mistakes? This is the whole point. He's going to make mistakes. And he's going to make a lot of them. And you are too. You are too. But you see, this is one thing that is the wisdom of God in putting us together in his body and using this means to call out his sheep. This is so wise to me. I think it's incredible wisdom. Because one, by using us like this, we're hearing the gospel preached. And we're hearing the doctrine. We're being taught the wonderful good news of our Redeemer. We're being taught about his all-sufficient grace. And as we're being taught, you have brethren here that Christ has fitly framed together that are going to do something dumb, do something sinful, do something irritating, do something that's offensive, and we're going to have to bear their burden. We're going to have to bear with it and be long-suffering and speak the truth in love, and all the while wait on Christ to work in the heart and trust him to do it. Did you see, Brother Cass read that scripture? Our Lord loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And the next verse says, and therefore he waited 2 days when he heard Lazarus was sick. You see your brother, your sister stumble in sin. Brother Kevin makes just a bumbling error in judgment. And you just want to fix it right now. You want to correct him right now and fix it right now. Our Lord waited So Lazarus died, and he was in the grave 4 days, so that everybody would know that when that man came forth out of the grave, the Lord did it. And he'll wait like he did that woman, so that he brings us down to the place we need to be, and he teaches us he's the one correcting his child. He's the one teaching his child. And in the process of correcting Brother Kevin, you know what he's going to do? He's going to grow you too. In the process of correcting this brother that's fallen, he's going to grow this sister and this other brother over here too. He's using it all, and he's teaching us that what we're hearing, the grace we're hearing about, is not only a doctrine, it's truly sufficient grace that's working actively in the hearts and amongst his people. He's really working in our midst. He's really working in our hearts. And you learn our Lord really is alive. He really is present, ever present with his people. He really is growing us and teaching us. And you know, y'all have been through some trouble, and you've learned some things through that trouble that the Lord's taught you that you couldn't have learned any other way. And it's going to prepare you for having a faithful pastor. It's going to prepare you now for having somebody that's going to treat you as Christ would treat his people. That it's necessary. And it's so wise. Not only do we get the gospel by which he saves our soul, we get to learn about his grace and experience it firsthand. Isn't that wisdom? Isn't that wisdom? Well, let me get to this fourth thing. Ephesians chapter 6. Pray for your pastor. Ephesians 6:19, Paul asked his brethren, he said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Every single time that the men stand in the pulpit to read Scripture back at home, every time they stand in the pulpit to read Scripture, without fail, they always pray for me, for their pastor. They always do. I can't tell you how necessary that is and how important that is. For me. You see, when we pray, the purpose of prayer is God already knows what he's going to do. You know that passage in Ezekiel where he told him everything he's going to do. And then he said, but I'm going to be inquired of for this to do it for you. You're going to pray to me and ask me to do it for you. Prayer is us acknowledging. Prayer for a pastor is us acknowledging that we need Christ to govern our pastor. We need Christ to sustain our pastor. We need Christ to give him the message. We need Christ to give him boldness to preach the message. We need Christ to make that word go forth effectually. We're acknowledging that our pastor has no ability to do any of these things. We need Christ to do these things in him and through him. That's what we're praying when we're asking God for personal things. We're acknowledging we have no power but him. And you know what? That is what I need to hear all the time. I need to hear my brethren pray for me as their pastor. Not so I can sit there and go, oh, they're praying for me. I sure am special. No, because if I understand it right, what I should understand is they're praying for me because I ain't that special. They're praying for me because I don't have any power. I'm utterly dependent on Christ. And that's good to be reminded of. And it'll be good for him to be reminded of it. Pray for him. Not just here, though. Pray for him at home, too. Pray for him. Often as you think about him, pray for your pastor. Pray for him. All right? And then stand with your pastor. 2 Timothy 1:16. I'll just give you these, and I got to move on quickly. But for 2 Timothy 1:16, when all his brethren had turned away from Paul, they had all turned their back on him because he was in prison. He said in verse 16, 2 Timothy 1:16, "The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Our Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered bearing the sin of his people and the judgment of God. He suffered being forsaken of all. Forsaken of God. Forsaken of all. And he suffered that, put away our sin, so that we won't ever be forsaken of God. We'll never be forsaken of him. And he gives us brethren to stand with us and encourage us to continually look to Christ. One of the greatest gifts he's ever given is his people. His people. Brethren. Brethren. You stand with your pastor. You stand with him. He's going to stand between you and the wolf. And as he does so, you stand with him. What do you mean by that? I mean when he's holding up the banner, Christ, Jehovah Nisi, and he's declaring the gospel and his arms get tired, hold up his hands. You lift up his hand. Hold up his hand. You put Christ the rock under him. Set Christ the rock. Stand with him. Whenever some of Satan's ministers come and they start to slander him and slander his name, stand with him. Stand with him. As long as he faithfully preaches the word to you, stand with him. Stand with him. I don't care who turns against you, stand with him. So that's why the scripture tells us to never receive an accusation against an elder, a pastor, a bishop, his preacher, unless it be before two or three witnesses. Don't even listen to hearsay slandering your pastor. Don't even listen to it. Don't even give ear to it. If it's not proven, if it's not been substantiated with two or three witnesses, don't even give an ear to it. Why? Because he's the minister of Christ, and we don't want to bring reproach on Christ, and we don't want to bring reproach on his gospel. Stand with him, just like you stand with Christ. Because he's speaking Christ's word. Stand with him. And then lastly, provide for him. He said in 1 Timothy 5, in verse 7, 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Now, this should be the easiest responsibility Christ gives to his saints, because everything we have is free. Our Lord freely chose us by his grace. He gave freely the unspeakable gift. He gave his only begotten Son. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. And our Lord promises us who have been redeemed by our Savior, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Listen to this certainty. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, being enriched by Him in everything to all bountifulness. That's certainty, isn't it? There's nothing we have as children of God that God did not freely give us. Nothing. And if He's given us His Son, everything else we need, He'll provide it. And so Paul said this, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, if we've given you unsearchable riches, lasting riches, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If we've given you everlasting, eternal, unsearchable riches through preaching the gospel, is it really that big a deal to receive some carnal trinkets for our earthly provision to just sustain us so we can keep preaching? That's what he's saying. That makes it seem kind of what it is, doesn't it? That makes you see what it is. I told Brother Kevin last night, I said, never live above the congregation. You heard me say that. Don't ever live above the congregation. I told him, cut out every expense he has to cut out, unnecessary expense, so that he's not a burden to you. That's necessary for God's faithful pastor. And I say the same thing to you in order to provide for him. And that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Your pastor has the same responsibility to provide for his family as you do. You know? So make it so that he doesn't have to entangle himself in this world. Make it so he can be in that study, studying for you. What I've seen is the churches that made it so their pastor could give himself to study and bring them a word, those seem to be the congregations that the Lord has really blessed the most. He's really provided for them, really, in a major way, you know. I know He blesses all His people, but I'm saying, you know, if He's having to work and Kimberly's having to work and the kids are, you know, they're little, but then they get older, and because neither one of them are around, they get in trouble, and there's just all kind of problems in his life, and he hadn't been able to study, and he's not going to be preaching to you what he'd be preaching. Everything's going to be suffering because of that. But where the pastor's provided for, where he can devote himself to the job God's given him for you, that's where there's a healthy congregation, where Christ is blessing it, and it's... Now, after you've done everything that you should, after you've provided for him and done everything, pray with David. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sword? For all things come of thee, Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. O Lord, our God, all this store that we've prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand, and it's all thine own. God just is not going to let us get any glory, is he? Isn't that a good thing? Everything we have, he gave it to us. We're not giving him anything he didn't already give us. So remember that. Brethren, I know you'll do these things. You've proven yourself faithful, and I know you'll do these things. And we'll continue to pray for you, your brethren in New Jersey. And we intend to do everything we can to help you. And we love you. And we're thankful for you. And we're with you. We're with you. And we pray God will richly, richly bless the work here. I look forward tomorrow to bringing you a message and getting back to just straight preaching the gospel to you. That's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow. All right, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these blessings. We thank you for these instructions. Make them truly lodge in our hearts and make us truly hear these things and bring them to remembrance often. We thank you, Lord. You've not left anything out of order. You've done everything so wisely and so sufficiently. And we thank you that you continually, continually bless us with the gospel and with everything we need. Lord, make us to fulfill the purpose for which you've given us in this world. Make us to hold forth your gospel, the word of life. Make us preach Christ and him crucified all over this world, in this place, wherever you open the door. And Lord, help us make it so that we are not a distraction in any way from Christ. Make him the focus. And don't let us, Lord, bring any reproach on the gospel. We pray for Brother Kevin. We pray for the church here. I ask you to continue to bless them. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We thank you for your tender mercies. Amen.